And God has used Daniel to reveal dreams. And chapters 2, 7, and 8, we saw that the things that the visions that Daniel had and also the Nebuchadnezzar, that they were visions that showed and dealt with the Gentile powers, the four different nations that have already come and passed their history. And you can go back and study history and see the very prophecies that God revealed through Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, that those have taken place. But since chapter 9, we're kind of seeing things that are future. What's going to take place? Last week in chapter 9, we saw talking about the 70 weeks and the fact that the 69 have already been fulfilled. Jesus Christ has died on the cross, was buried, rose again. He's in heaven, right hand of Father of God the Father today. And we are in a time that is described as a mystery in the New Testament. And the reason that was so, because the Jewish prophets and the Jewish folks never saw the church age. It was always a mystery to them. And that was revealed after Christ went to the cross. And of course, the church age began from that point, that point on. And of course, the church began in Acts chapter 2. We saw on the day of Pentecost when folks, for the first time, the Spirit of God came down and they were filled and lives were changed. So that's where we're at right now. But we know there's another week still left, and that's the 70th week, and that's still future. And we're going to see some things in chapter really 11 and 12 more so than chapter 10. Chapter 10 is preparatory to this, or a prologue, if you will, to chapters 11 and 12. So we're just going to look at these today and see how God is dealing here. And again, remember, this whole thing started out in chapter 1 when Daniel, he made a decision. That decision, I'm sure, was made prior to that, but that's when it's revealed to us when we meet him. And we don't know how old he was. Some people think he was a teenager at that time, around 16 or so. I don't know for sure. But the fact is, he was given some choices when they were taken captive from the Babylonians in 605 B.C. And one of those choices for him was to obey God or follow his captors. And you remember what he did? He purposed in his heart that he was going to follow God. And he petitioned those that were in authority over him, and they allowed him to try this. And when they did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well, that they actually looked better than those that were eating off the king's plate or table, which Daniel knew would have been a sin for him, because he knew as a Jew there were certain things he was not supposed to partake of. And so from that time on, we see through the rest of the Daniel, this all has to boil down to one thing, and that really is that Daniel purposed in his heart that he was going to follow God no matter what. No matter what other men said, no matter what other men told him to do. We saw that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they had to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's god, okay, or idol. They didn't do it. And that meant certain death for them, but yet they were willing to go and die, be thrown in the fiery furnace, if you will, than to bow down and worship a pagan king. That makes a strong statement. And for us today, as we look at these things, we need to think about these also. Not that we're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, but you never know. We're going to get to that point someday, I think, that Christians, before even the rapture, are going to be persecuted in a physical way for their stand on the Word of God. And I think many... I hope I don't have to be one of those to be tested, because I'm in my mind, I say I would never do that. But we don't know. Sometimes we don't. If we're not really sincere and putting God first and realizing that no matter what I go through, He's number one, and I'm going to follow Him to the death. Because what the death is for us is what? Everlasting life. There's a difference. So anyway, let's look at Daniel chapter 10 and begin. It says, in the third year, Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as an appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms as feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Let's go ahead and stop there. We're going to cover the whole chapter today, Lord willing, but let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your words that you've given to us, and again, reminding us of who you are and what you mean to us, and the fact that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we too could have a relationship with you. And as we study through the words of God, and specifically today, the book of Daniel, we can see how you work in people's lives. And Father, let us never forget that it's people that you work through. Help us each one be available and ready to serve you as Daniel was. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see that Daniel is in grief, okay? He is at this time, it says the third year of Cyrus the king, is probably about 534 BC, somewhere in there. And Daniel, in age, he's probably in the mid-80s to upper or close to the lower 90s, somewhere in there. That's where he's at in his life. And so here he has this vision or this thing that comes to him and is revealed to him. Here in the Bible, in the first chapter, it says, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. And it goes on, it says, whose name was called Daniel, Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and the understanding of the vision. Sorry about that thing there. That's a little of that southern vernacular coming out. But anyway, so we don't know why this thing's happening, but he's in a situation of grief. Verse 2, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. So it's about 21 days, I guess, if you did the week thing. And he's mourning. He's lamenting. He's in grief about maybe what he has seen and what's taking place in Israel. About this time, Israel went back about 49,000 people back in the book of Ezra. It explains some of that, that they went back to Jerusalem. You remember what they were going to do in Jerusalem? What was the purpose of those people in the book of Ezra? Why were they going back? They had a plan and a purpose. What was that? Anybody remember? The temple. Well, okay, the church. The temple. They went back to rebuild the temple. That's significant in the book of Daniel as you study chapter 9, as we did last week, because God revealed to Daniel that it was going to be the city was when the time was going to begin in the 70 weeks. So anyway, that's significant. But they went back there. And so they haven't built the city up. The city was still in destruction. We don't know if that's why he's mourning here. We don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the things that he's already seen, the visions he's already had. He's already, in chapter 9, we saw he had the visions of the 70 weeks. And he, in his mind, he knows that this is going to be the dealings with Israel and his people. And so, for whatever reason, he's in a state of mourning. In verse 3, he says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till three whole weeks were fulfilled. And so here he is, he's in this situation, he is for 3 weeks, he's praying, he's fasting, this thing is revealed. The Hebrew word for thing is dabar. It's a word that it means word or matter. So maybe it's the word of God itself, this thing being the word of God. The word of God was revealed unto Daniel, and the word was true, and the time point was long, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. So maybe, you know, that's the definition coming from the Hebrew, is word or matter. So anyway,
anyway, he understands these things. He has some things coming to him. And so he's in this situation of this mourning or lamenting. He was fasting and praying for 21 days. And you think about this. This is something we probably don't practice like we should about fasting and prayer. Those are important things to do. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 17 for just a second. And we'll come back here to Daniel, so put your place here. But Jesus, when he had sent his disciples out, or they were there with him at this particular time, actually, and there was a gentleman there that had a problem. Look at verse 14 of chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Please find that in your Bibles. If you're awake, raise your hand. If you're not, I'll throw the book at you. Okay, look at that. Boy, we got some people ready. Matthew chapter 17. And when you find your place, look up just so I know that you're there. Okay. Verse 14 says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him," and this is Jesus with his disciples, "there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting.'" You see, Jesus is making a statement here about the importance. We have to have faith, obviously, but also fasting and prayer signifies and demonstrates who we're relying on. When you're fasting, that's not just food necessarily, but it could be anything. Television, if you're watching television, or whatever's in your life, you're putting that aside for a time, and you're trying just to seek the Lord's face. And you're fasting. In this case, Daniel did it for 21 days. He didn't eat anything. He didn't take a bath. He didn't anoint himself. And he was trying to, really, he was serious with God. He wanted to hear from God. And that's really what we need to do and think about. You know, sometimes we get in this mode of just throwing up these prayers, and we just say this and that and the other thing, and we don't get serious with God about this. And so we need to realize that we need to get apart. We need to say, okay, I'm not thinking about anything else but one thing, and I'm focused on you, Lord. I need help here, and I need you to help me make some decisions, and just seek his face. He will reveal to us those things. And if you believe it by faith, you know it can happen. So anyway, Daniel's there. He's fasting. He's praying in these 21 days. And so then he receives this vision, or has this vision. He said, in the 20th day in the first month. This is probably the month Nisan. And it's probably April 24th, some scholars say. I don't know for sure, because I know the months, they change. It could be March. It could be April. And I haven't looked at the calendar to try to figure all of that out. Remember, we shared about the calendars last week, about the Jewish calendars, 360 days. And they add an extra month in a year ever so often, where the Julian calendar, we throw in an extra day every 4 years, which we're not under today. We're under the Gregorian calendar. But anyway, people do go back and figure these things out, and it's all based off the new moons, is how the Jewish calendar is based anyway. So whatever, April 24th or whatever day it was, it really doesn't make a lot of difference at this particular time, because here, let's get to the meat of it. He says, "As I was by the side of the great river," which is Hadinkel, which happens to be the Tigris River. It kind of runs parallel with the Euphrates on the right on your map, but it's not really parallel. It's more like a V, okay? Comes down like this. And so he's there by that river, and he says in verse 5, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen." Now, certain man, we ask ourselves, who could this be? If we go back and look in the New Testament, there are times where Jesus is sharing parables, and as he shares those parables, he's revealing God the Father, and he's talking about relationships to people to him, and often he will use that term, a certain man. Now, this is not saying that thus saith the Lord, but in Luke 14:16 says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." Remember, this is the supper where they called in the people, invited them in. Actually, people had invitations, didn't come. He said, "Go out into the hedges, highways, invite them in." And but that certain man is speaking of the Lord himself. In Luke 29, it says, "Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let forth to be husbandman and went into a far country for a long time." Again, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he has given us the opportunity to be his servants and stewards in that case. But anyway, just trying to point out this word, these two words, certain man. And again, I'm not saying this is thus saith the Lord, but as you look at this, I want you to look at these things that it says about this certain man. He says he was clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like a in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, some people would say that this is some heavenly being. Well, I would say yes to that, but I think we can be a little more specific. And again, we look at things and we look at the Bible and we try to compare Scripture with Scripture, but I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 1 for a second, kind of hold your place here. Revelation chapter 1, and I want you to see this because I personally believe that Daniel is getting a vision of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to see, just as in comparison, how this fits in. But in Revelation chapter 1, you find your place there. And look at verse 12. That's where we'll start reading. It says, "I turned," and this is John. He has a vision. And of course, as you know, this vision is of things that will be heavenly right here. This is the present. In Revelation, we see the past, the present, and the future in this book. But anyway, he says, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." He describes those. He tells us what those are later on. He says, "In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters." Now, when you look at what the other passage said, it says he was clothed in linen. It says his loins were girded with fine gold. Okay? Now, loins might be typified of a belt when you look at this particular word loin in the Hebrew. Here it tells us that he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, the paps is really the breast, and so it's something maybe coming from the shoulder down to the waist or whatever, okay? There's a similarity there. There's the gold, and of course he's dressed in fine linen in this case, down to the foot. But then it says something about his face as the appearance of lightning, okay? And when you look here in our passage in Revelation, it tells us that his head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. So his appearance is lightning. Well, his hairs in his face are white, it says, as snow. They look like wool, but they're as white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. Back in Daniel, he says, eyes as lamps of fire, okay? And then his arms and feet like in color to polished brass in the book of Daniel. And here it tells us, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And here it tells us that his voice was like the voice of a multitude. So can you see the similarities there? To me, this is kind of, in my mind anyway, it's clear that he's actually seeing or getting a vision of the Lord Jesus. And this is after the fact of I think it's the post carnate Jesus. Now, again, I don't know all this. It doesn't say those verbatim, but as I look at this, that's what it appears to me. One thing we know, it's somebody in heaven or a heavenly vision that he's seen there. And again, I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So go back to Daniel and let's see just for a second what's going on here. In verse 7, verse 6, he says, verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. So, as you see here, we've seen something like this before. Daniel is with some people. They didn't see the vision. Daniel alone saw the vision, the actual vision, according to the scripture here. It says, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quakening fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And so here he's having this vision. There are other people with him by the river Tigris or Hidinkel. And these guys, heard, or we don't know what they heard, but the great quakening. I thought, well, maybe that's the voice of the many multitudes or whatever, because they were afraid and they left. They were scared and they went away. And we see something similar to that to Paul when he's on the road to Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, 7, says, and when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Again, that's a sort of a similar thing as here, this vision that Daniel sees. He's going to hear a voice. We'll see that in the next verse or so. But there's this great quakening. These other guys fled. It was similar in with Paul when he's on the road to Damascus. These other guys, they heard the voice but didn't see the vision, okay, or didn't see what Paul saw. He didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know these things have happened not just here, but also in the past in the book of Acts, and on it goes. But so here, again, we see that these guys fled. They went to hide themselves. In verse 8 says, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. So he's here, and this magnificent vision that he saw, it just completely drained his strength from his body. His countenance changed, his comeliness, which means beauty, changed into corruption, it says, where he probably was like maybe white as a sheet, you might think, or pale. It's like, you know, one of these type of things. And so here he is. He sees this great vision, and he has no strength in himself at all. And verse 9 says, yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And this morning in Sunday school, I shared about how we're going to be worshiping the Lord when we get up into heaven. It talks about the 24 elders. When they fall down prostrate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's exactly what Daniel is doing here. He sees this vision, he hears his voice, and he's prostrate right there and falls down in front, I believe, of the Lord Jesus Christ in this vision. And again, he has no strength, and his countenance has changed because he's seen something that is really miraculous. I believe if I saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ clearly, as Daniel had saw here, I'd be on my face on the ground real quick. I really would. So here we see his position, we see what's going on, and see what he sees. And that's just amazing to me, but and that's all because of the vision, the thing that he saw. So he was here all by himself, and again, it reminds me of the fact that those who are serious and serving God, those are the ones that God is communicating with. When we keep those lines of communication open, he's there, and he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from Daniel. We're going to see, it's interesting, how many days did Daniel fast and pray? 21. Why did he fast and pray for so long? Because he wanted to hear from God. What happened on the 24th of April, or Nisan, 20 and 4 days? Someone came to him, right? He had this vision. He's hearing from God. But I want you to look. There's some things that we don't even understand. Things that we think that, and maybe it's not always our fault either, but there's some things going on that are hidden that we don't even know about. And we're going to see some of that here in this next part. There's an angelic message and ministry starting in verse 10. It says, and behold, a hand touched me. Now, I believe this is a change. I don't believe this is the Lord Jesus Christ that's touching him. Okay? I believe he's prostrate, worshiping in a sense, or bowing down to the Lord, and somebody comes and touches him. I think this is a different somebody. I think this is another angel. Let's carry on. Now, other people might disagree. That's okay. He says, so, behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So here he's prostrate. This angel comes and touches him, and all of a sudden he's up on his knees and his hands. Okay? And so we can see this picture. And we don't know who this is. We do know that Daniel had help from a certain angel. Do you remember what that angel's name was? Gabriel, that's right. And that was in the previous chapters. Gabriel was speaking. So this may be Gabriel. We don't know. It doesn't say. But there is an angel here. And this angel is coming to Daniel. And verse 11, he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. This is the second time we see those words in the book of Daniel. O greatly beloved. Again, reference to the fact that he loves the Lord. And he is greatly beloved as well. God is just reminding him is. And of course, we know that God loves us with an everlasting love too. And he demonstrates that by blessing us and by spanking us sometimes. But he loves us and he cares for us. So here he says, he calls him man greatly beloved. He says, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So he's still shaken from his encounter with God, or the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he's still shook up. And he gets up, he stands up, and he says, the Bible says, he was still trembling. And so, let's go on and read the passage. And it says, verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not. Daniel had feared that vision, or had a reverence for what he saw. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ there in heaven, and he realized that he saw something that was magnificent, and it put the fear of God in him, and it will do the same with us, I believe. And he goes on and says, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, he said, what day? The first day, okay? He said, the first day, he said, thy words were heard, and I am come to thy words. What happened? What is this angel telling Daniel? He's telling Daniel, from the very first day that you started to pray and fast, from that day, I was coming to you. God heard his prayer right that day. But he prayed 21 days and he fasted 21 days. Why? What took him so long? This is what we see as we study the Bible that we are against and faced with and don't even know it. It's going on today. He said in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Now, what it's talking about here, it's not talking about Cyrus. It's not talking about the king. It said the prince. Satan has people, or demons, if you will. He has these people in all these governments and everywhere. They're there. And in this case, this angel, Gabriel, he came up against this prince of Persia, and the prince of Persia would not let him come to Daniel. You say, hold it, but this is God's angel. Can't the angels do everything? No. They can't do everything. They're not God, okay? They're messengers sent by God. And so here he was withstood. In other words, he couldn't get to Daniel. He had a message, but he couldn't get to him. He withstood for 21 days. So what happened? And then it says in that same passage, he says, withstood me 120 days. There's your 21 days, okay, before he came to him. He says, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So what happened is, Michael, he came and he, in a sense, rescued Gabriel so he could go. And he remained there, the kings of Persia. This is talking about the fact Daniel's in Persia at the time, right? So he came to Persia, and he came with a message for Daniel, and he remained there once he got there, but he couldn't get there for 21 days because the prince of Persia, and I believe this is demonic, this is somebody that Satan has put in place here, a principality, a ruler of the darkness of this world. There's power, there's wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, and I didn't quote that way, I went around it, didn't I? But they're there, and they're thwarting or trying to thwart the things that God is trying to do. So there's battles going on that we don't even see. They're invisible to us. So we're trying to reach God, and there are probably times in our lives when we're trying to reach God, there's somebody up there trying to stop us from reaching God or stop God maybe sending His angel to help us. There is that possibility, and this is what this is talking about right here. And we know that our battle is not with flesh and blood, right? It's with those principalities. It's with the powers. It's with the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's with that wickedness in high places. So often we get confused and we think our battle is the person next door to us or the people out there in the world. That's not our battle. Our battle is higher than that. It's the things that we can't see. And that's what's going on. And so Michael, the prince, and remember Michael and who he is. In Jude 9, it says, "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" In other words, Michael, the angel who this says is disputing, maybe Satan was trying to get the body or whatever, but he was trying to defend him. He said, even Michael will not make a railing accusation against the devil. He said, he leaves that up to the Lord to rebuke him. So that again goes with James, doesn't it? Whenever we are in a situation, we're to ask the Lord to help us, right? We're to flee from the devil. Give it to the Lord to take care of our battles. He can handle the devil. I cannot. You cannot. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to do that for us. That's why we draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto us. We still have to resist, but we have to ask God to take care of these things. So he said in verse 13 that it was Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king's persons. In verse 14 he says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." And so here he's giving Daniel some more information. And again, chapter 10 is really all preparatory to chapters 11 and 12, and he's preparing Daniel for what he's going to see and how things are going to happen. So as Daniel was praying again, this battle's going on between these angels, and finally the angel breaks through, and he's going to share with Daniel some things. So in verse 14, we see that he talks about this vision. "There are three things spoken of." Let's go ahead and read 15, 16. "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, 'O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength.'" Again, he is stricken. He has no strength again in this situation. But in verse 14, let's just go back there for something real quick. He gives Daniel some keys to open up the door of what's going to take place in the future. And he says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall," number one, "thy people." He's saying, he's telling him about the vision. He's telling him what's going to take place. Number one, this vision is going to be about the Jews. And specifically, or more specifically in Daniel's case for Judah and Jerusalem, but he's talking about the Israel. He says, "to befall thy people," number one. He says, "in the latter days." And so what he's talking about, this is a message that was going to be future event, and really it's about the last week of the 70 weeks. And then he says, "for yet the vision is for many days." He says, in other words, the vision is something that's way in the future. Okay, it's a long way before these things come to pass. And I don't even can't understand or can't fathom being told all of this information from the God in heaven being revealed in the angels, getting this information to know what's going to take place in the future with your people. That's got to be disheartening. You know, that's got to be discouraging. To know that your people are going to go through these things, and here he has a love for Jerusalem, he has a love for his people, and yet God is revealing these visions to him. And why he's doing this is because today we have these things that we can go back and we can see what God is doing in our lives and how this correlates and relates for us. First, we have the proof of the history that has already passed, which was future when it was written here. And now we also have the future, which we can study the books of the prophecy, and they line up with what Daniel's saying right here. Again, confirmation to help us to know what God is trying to teach us. In verses 17, he says, For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Now, we don't know who these are. They may be two different angels. One touches lips, and here one is going to touch him and strengthen him. Verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. This is the third time we see that greatly beloved in Daniel. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak. For thou hast strengthened me. So here, through this angel that came by, Daniel is being strengthened. He is understanding that God has something for him to see and to understand. And he needs to be able to handle these things and to have that strength to be able to not only see them, but obviously he pinned these down so we would have them as well. And he said in verse 20, he says, Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. What's that about? Well, we already know and have seen this happen. He's in Persia right now, but yet the devil has somebody there, some prince, and this angel's going to have to come and fight with this prince in Persia. Why? Because of the spiritual wickedness in high places. And so he gives us another look of these angelic ministries that are taking place. He says, And when I gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. That's the next group coming in, right? Greece, Alexander the Great. And he says, I'm going to have to fight him too. And so there's battles going on that we do not know anything about today. And so we don't even really understand all that. All we have is a small glimpse here. But God is on the throne. He's working in our lives, and he's using the angels. He's using his power, and he's there for us. And so we know, and we can be guaranteed, just as he has told us, that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he does love us with an everlasting love, that he will bless us, that he will strengthen us. He will give us the mercy and grace to continue to walk in the Christian faith. But he also expects from us that we purpose in our hearts that we're going to follow him. And that will make all the difference in the world. Because if we can grow to love our Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, it will make a difference on having the victory in this lifetime and serving God as he's called us. The main purpose we're here, obviously, is to glorify God. And what comes with that is faithfulness to him and all that he's asked us to do. There's a world dying, going to hell. We are the messengers. If we are Christians, we're to be Christ-like. Christ-like means to make sure to seek and to save that which is lost. In other words, get the word out and tell them and help them, because one day there will be no hope. The last part, verse 21, says, But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Here he calls Michael Daniel's prince. Almost in the back of your mind you think, the guardian angel. We've heard those statements before. I don't know, but he said he's your prince. So Daniel, I know he's having a hard time here. He's been grieving, lamenting for this. He's been seeking God's face. And I want to point out one other thing before we close, is that remember, Daniel, he fasted for 21 days. God heard him on the first day. But he didn't stop until the angel got there. Talk about perseverance. We're not done. We need to keep on keeping on until the very end. All of this, or this chapter, is about to take place in chapter 11 and 12. The visions are going to be revealed. And again, it's all dealing with Israel for the most part. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the opportunity to look to your word. We ask that you would help us, each one, that as we are studying the scripture and as we look to you to trust you, that we would not only just look at the words and read the words, but Father, we would practice what the words teach us. Help each one of us, Father, that purpose in our heart that we're going to follow you and that you're going to be number one in our lives. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.